You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.
All right, everyone. Today, we're jumping in right where we left off with the continuation of yesterday's episode. I'll play the last 30 seconds or so as a refresher, but if you haven't listened to episode 197, I would strongly recommend going back and listening to that first. Otherwise, kind of where we're going here isn't going to make a lot of sense. All right, so let's get back into it. And there is one thing I want to tell you about that happened to me. I say happened to me as if it was like an incident that occurred to me. But it's more, let me tell you what I did wrong and how I took care of it. So still within an install, I'm holding the queen cage. And I'm just so excited, man. Like, I know that a lot of people are in different stages, like with their bee excitation and passion and all these things. I'm just so excited. I've got bees again, and they're with me, and they're near me, and I can go out in the morning and have a cup of coffee with them and just kind of hang out. So it's really refreshing having them again. And I'm just standing there, and I'm holding this queen cage, and I'm watching her moving around, and I'm like, man, this is great. So cool to have my queens again. And I take the nail, and I pop the cork off, and right away, I realize, wrong end. Great job. Because when I pop it off, I'm not nice and organized and say, you know, I'm going to remove this cork and place it on top of a hive body next to me or whatever. No, it's pop it off and it just goes into the yard. So I pop the cork off. Right away, I notice it. So I just throw my thumb over the hole. And I thought, okay, well, I released the queen here, because if you pop that, you know, the cork on that side, it's direct access to the queen. And what I could have done is just said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just release her and we're going to be done with it. If I was going to do that though, I really would have wanted to get a better video angle, maybe have Phoebe with me to make sure we're capturing it and you can see the queen. Then we can slow-mo it of her leaving. Cause a lot of times once they decide to walk out of that cage, they're fast. They will just run out and boom, straight down the frame and they're gone. So it'd be nice to have just the right angle and we can slow-mo it and have that queen walk out and you can see her go down into the hive. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'll just go ahead and fix it the way that I would recommend that you try to do if you run into the same thing. So I just kind of shifted my thumb over to my finger. And now with my left hand, I'm holding the cage between my middle finger, ring finger, and my thumb. And my index finger is over the hole that I just made. I then take the nail and I am careful to remove the cork in its entirety. Because a lot of times I just kind of go in there and just dig the cork out. I don't care about it coming out in one piece. It's not a big deal. But this time I wanted to make sure that I was able to get the cork out in one piece so I can use it on the opposite end. So I slide the nail in, get it nicely behind the cork, pop it out, catch it with my finger, move it to the opposite side, put it back in where the one was that I just removed, and I went kind of back along my way. If that happens, don't be worried about it. I also have these cork plugs, and I have a bunch of those that are in my that little belt that I told you about that I carry around. That would have been kind of a great time to have one of those. I could have just reached in, pulled it out, and just plugged it. But you know, if you don't have those, you don't have that. It doesn't really matter what you use. If you had to, you could just keep your finger over it, walk around a little bit on the ground, and just look for a small pebble or like a piece of acorn or just something that you can use to just jam in there so that the queen can't walk by. And you put it back in. Don't overthink it. Just obstruct it in some way and everything will be fine. All right. So quick recap on everything. You're basically sugar syrup, a little bit of a spray on the outside to kind of calm them down. Pop them down once good against the ground to get all of them down low. You're going to pop off the wooden top, pull the can out, pull the queen cage out, get your queen positioned inside the hive. Make sure your feeder is already there. Feeder is full. You're going to shake all the bees into the package or from the package into the hive, close everything back up, nice tight entrance reducers, and you are done. Now, the next step in this is just to leave them alone. What I like to do, and this is a big reason why I tell you to use that toothpick method or some other method that gives you access to that queen cage up high, because on your follow-up, and again, I'm going to provide a video of this, but on your follow-up, all I did is just remove the outer cover, remove the inner cover, and I literally just grab it, pull it straight out. I did have to move on a couple. I had to make a few movements of the frame just to get it past, but that's it. You're pulling that out. You're closing it right back up, and then you're looking at the cage. Okay, great. There's no queen in here. This one is done. It is less than 30 seconds for all of them. Now, if you have one that falls down, if you open it up and for whatever reason, the last one I did, I didn't have a toothpick, but I still had my nail. So it's hanging from a nail. If for some reason something twisted, fell, and it's not easily accessible, this is a judgment call you need to make. What you can do is you can say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and go in and I'm going to just make sure that this is done. Or you wait 3 more days till your first 1 week inspection is due and you can check it out then. I generally will just wait. And again, weather can be a factor too. We had a nice run of beautiful weather and now it's in the 50s. So if it was, let's say 55 Fahrenheit today, I think it's 10 or 11 Celsius. If it was 55 or if it's 55 today and I had to do that today, I would have no reservations about that. I would just go out, pop the top, pull it out, close it back up. No problem. But I'm probably not going to do a full inspection today. I don't have to. In a couple of days, it'll be 70 degrees again and I'm right back to a normal routine. Now, as far as how to handle the sugar syrup, what you could do, and again, it depends on the type of feeder you're using. If you're using a top feeder, the same day that you go to pull that queen cage, by all means, if the feeder is running low and they're consuming a lot of sugar syrup, go ahead and top that off. But on your inspection day, this would be a good time to go ahead and handle that too. Bring some sugar syrup with you and top those off. How long you feed is going to be, again, kind of a judgment call on what you want to do. There's going to be a time where the bees are just going to say, I don't want it. I love what's in the environment more, and this is what I'm going to get. Early on with a package of bees, that rarely happens to me. They will keep taking it up because they are working around the clock to draw a new comb, to rear new brood, and all of that. So don't be afraid to fill those up. But I would say, you know, maybe once you get to that 3 or 4 week point, you really want to make sure that you're kind of letting them find things in the environment if it's there. And, you know, this is actually, I was thinking about this today. It's been on my list for a long time to do an episode on this. And I just haven't gotten around to it. There's so many things that seem to be always a priority. But I'm going to do an episode within the next week or two on understanding bee forage and how important it is to have the bees foraging on what's provided in nature, just to make sure they're getting the right nutrition. So I'm going to balance that out. I know this is a bit of a sidebar discussion here, but I'm going to balance that out with another kind of topic around pests and things. We're going to be doing some pest discussions around, like, I've never even talked about tracheal mites on here, but we're going to talk about tracheal mites. We're going to talk about tropolalaps. Not an issue in the U.S. right now, but something maybe we ought to know about. Some of those things are on the upcoming episodes. But the important thing I want you to be thinking about is not just sugar syrup because, oh, they're drinking it. It must be great. It's okay, cool. This is good for this point in time to help lift them up and give them a little boost. Nutritionally speaking, it's probably not the best. And we're going to talk more about that. Now let's shift over to installing a nuc or a nucleus colony. Again, we've discussed what it is. We all know, you know, just from what we talked about earlier, what the nucleus colony is. Now, the first question that I think tends to come up is around feeding. Well, it's a nucleus colony. It comes with honey. Do I need to feed them? This is another one, again, that a lot of people will have varying opinions on. So I'll give you the information. I'll let you decide what's best for you. So let's assume that you've received a nucleus colony. It's got one frame that's pretty well packed out with honey, and maybe the other one's about half, you know, open nectar, a little bit of honey, whatever, and the rest is just, you know, brood and other things within the hive. The two different cases are going to be that nuc has everything it needs. You don't need to give them sugar syrup. Why would you give them sugar syrup when they have everything that they already need? And then the opposite position is going to be, look, it doesn't hurt right now. You don't have honey supers on. They need as much nutrition and nectar and pollen as possible to ramp up brood really, really quickly to become a thriving, surviving, and amazing new colony. Give them the feed. I generally will not feed a nuc. I kind of go back and forth with this because I'm trying to remember the last time I fed a nuc. And like it's in my mind, I'm thinking there's nothing wrong with it. I have done it and I would do it. But there's always something else going on, and I feel like I'm just not. I don't usually do it. So I don't mean to sound wishy-washy. My position on it is absolutely, right? If you have a 5-frame nuke and you want to put them into a 10-frame deep to get them started. Now, remember the rule that everybody's going to tell you is, well, when the hive body reaches 70% capacity, you want to make sure you're getting ready to add another one. Well, if you have, let's say, a 2-frame feeder and then you have a 5-frame nuke and most of that's drawn out, well, you're at 70%. So then you want to start thinking about what you do with that. Okay, now I'll tell you what my recommendation would be in that scenario. I'm putting the feeder all the way off to one side. I'm putting all of the brood in the middle of what's remaining. And I will probably from day one, recognizing that I've got 3 available spaces for frames, I'm going to go ahead and take a brand new wax foundation frame, drop that in the middle, let them start working on that. You'll come back in a week for your first inspection. And at that 1 week point, I suspect that it's going to be pretty hectic, or at least getting ready to become hectic. You may not have to do it on week one, but by week two, they're getting a second deep. In the second deep, if you've decided you still want to feed them, they're taking the sugar syrup up. I would move that feeder now to the top deep. I move a frame or two of brood from the bottom up into the next section up in the top, backfill that middle with foundation, pack the sides in with new wax foundation or whatever foundation you've chose to use. Now we've got that brood space in the middle. They're working kind of both at the same time, both the top and the lower deep. Feed is accessible from the top. That's kind of what I would do. But again, the beautiful thing with beekeeping is like there's a million different ways to do that. You got to give them space. Space is going to be the big deal. How you align things and move things around and where you want to put your feeder, like you can leave your feeder in the bottom. You just got to remember you're going to take off outer cover, inner cover, top hive body, and then you get to the feeder. So to me, get it as close to the top as possible so it's not as invasive. You don't have to do as much. And when you decide to take it out, you just open the top, you take it out. That's why I do it that way. Some people say, well, we use outer feeders and we have a outer cover, telescoping outer cover, and our feeder goes right up there in the top of that. Awesome. I love those. I don't have any of those. And I'll tell you, I've definitely mentioned this lately that if I were starting over, I think that's probably what I would do. I like that, bucket feeder on the top of the hive, whether it's a bucket or a jar or whatever approach you want to, want to go with. As long as it is completely sealed when you set that bucket on top, I think it's a great way to go. You pop it off. And if you do it in a way that is, in my opinion, like the really intelligent way of doing it, is you've got a controlled area, whether it's in a shed or a garage or whatever, and you're mixing all your sugar syrup up in there. You're putting it all in the buckets there. You put it into a cart or something and you roll it around to wherever your bee yard is, or you put it on a small truck or whatever you got to do. And then you go to the bee yard, you just walk up and you pop the old one off, put the full one on. And if the old one still has syrup in it, bring them all back, consolidate them, mix it back up and just take it back out next time. Or if you have the ability to kind of just see through them, if they're transparent enough and you see the level and you say, okay, well, that one doesn't need any. Or you do a walkthrough ahead of time. You say, okay, I've got 27 hives here and 22 of them need feed. And you come out with 22 buckets. I think those are a great way to keep feeding without having to open the hive every time, because if you're waiting 1 week between refilling, you might be surprised at just how often it's empty. And if you go in at day 3 or 4, it might be empty. They can plow through some sugar syrup in the spring or at any time when there is a dearth or when they don't have anything in the environment. So using or considering at least different feeding options are really good. There's a gentleman, I think, in our Discord room that has an interesting feeder option, which when I first saw the image, I thought it was a Boardman feeder, which I've told you guys, the Boardman feeders, I'm not a big fan at all. That encourages robbing. They're sitting right there at the entrance. I'm just really, really not a fan of those unless you're putting water in there. I think it's a cool thing to put fresh water in and you replace it, every couple of days. I think that's a great use for it. Anyway, in this particular setup that he has, it's a feeder that is mounted to the back. So it's a custom bottom board that has an extension that comes out of the back. And then it is kind of, I don't know what if you use like a router or what was used to probably a combination of maybe drill bits or whatever to drill through the block of wood that is that outside component that allows direct access to the inside, and then you put a jar on the outside. So that's pretty cool. You've got a jar feeder on the outside. You can see the sugar syrup level at all times. The bees don't have to leave to get to the syrup. You don't have to open anything up to refill it. And it's not up near the front where there is more possibility of robbing activity or visits from things that might cause problems. But I definitely recommend when you are feeding, please, please keep those entrances small. This is an area where a lot of people, I think, set themselves up for failure. Bees really don't need an entrance bigger than like an inch and a quarter, inch and a half. You can go all year long with just like an inch and a half entrance. If you want to get a little wild and crazy during the flow, make it a 2-inch entrance. But it doesn't have to be wide open. It doesn't have to be huge. And if you say, but Jeff, I really want that extra airflow coming in, look at the video that we have on YouTube. It's basically like how I made a hardware cloth entrance reducer. And you can put this in. I have different slits that are cut in it, so you can raise it up to be like an inch and a half. You can close that one down, open up the other one for 2 or 3 inches. You're allowing plenty of air to flow through the hardware cloth, but yet still keeping them protected from, you know, everything that may want to try to enter and rob and all of that. So that's kind of where I am on that one.
You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.
But with the Nuke, once that's installed, it's a regular colony. You get on a regular inspection schedule. I do want to make sure that I am finding and seeing new eggs on that first inspection that we do. There are different methods that are used to make a nuke. Some people will grab a bunch of random frames from one location, throw them in together to make the nuke, take a newly mated queen, drop her in a queen cage, put her in the nuke, and get her introduced however they want to introduce her. And that queen may have only been in there for a few days, and they say, cool, this one's ready to go, and they sell it. Now, there are a lot of differing methods and approaches, and I don't know that there's kind of a right or wrong or what's more ethical than another way. I kind of like the idea of getting a queen into a nuke and then being able to have a little bit of time to observe that queen and make sure she's putting out a good laying pattern and everything. I think that maybe a lot of places will say, listen, we don't really have the time to sit here for a month or a month and a half and confirm that things are going great with this queen. We're just going to get her out. She's laying. We can see eggs. Everything looks okay. We're going to get her out. If there's a problem, we'll just mail somebody a new one. I mean, that might be the approach. I was talking to with a gentleman who's a very active participant. He's out in the Netherlands. He's very active in our Discord room all the time, which I really appreciate all of his knowledge and support over there. But he was saying that, like, when he's making nukes, like, they will observe these nukes for several weeks to make sure that the queen that they sell with that nuke is a productive queen and ready to go. So I'm not going to kind of pick on anybody or debate what's right or wrong in that situation, but just make sure that you, as the new owner of that queen and that nuke, make sure you're checking, you know, for a lot of eggs, and you want to see them in a nice, you know, concentric, you know, elliptical kind of pattern within the center of the frame. Now, of course, there is a separate element to that as well. We need to make sure that all those workers have drawn out the comb in the right places and that they're not, you know, backfilling anything. They're not honey bound. you know, all of those things. But just keep a close eye on that queen, and definitely keep a close eye on space, like I mentioned earlier, because you're going to need to add space for that queen for the queen, but primarily for the colony very quickly after that first week or two. Things are really going to explode. All right, I want to just real quickly, I made a couple of notes, and I hope this is useful for you, but I was trying to think of, okay, what are the common mistakes that people might make when they're doing a Nuke install? And some of it applies to packages and some of them don't. I just wanted to go over it. Some of it's redundant. We did talk about it a little bit, but it's really important. So let's go through opening the hive every day. Like, I get this one. I really do, because I get a little geeked out. I get excited. I want to see the bees every day. If you want to do this, you absolutely can. You can, but there's a little bit of a caveat to this. I have 6 colonies. So I can just get on a schedule where I'm inspecting 1 colony a day. And I may very well do that. I'm not sure, because I enjoy hanging out with them. So maybe I will get onto a schedule like that. Realistically, what I'll probably do is I'll probably be doing like half of them, you know, midweek and half of them on the weekend or something like that. I'll keep notes, do a little bit of a rotation, and we'll see what works. But don't go into them every day. As much as you want to, they need to get into a rhythm. They need to start putting things where they want them, you know, designing the new architecture and putting everything together and propolizing everything. And you know, if you go in every day, it's going to be a bit irritating to them. Now, I've had people tell me, and this, I'm telling you this from, you know, verbal speaking, not from my experience, but because I've never done this. People say, well, if you're in the hives every day, the bees are going to get more agitated. They're going to become more aggressive, and they're likely to abscond because they just feel that there is something wrong in that environment. I cannot speak from experience. I have not decided to waste or abuse a colony of mine just to do that experiment. I think it's possible, probable, but at least give them, you know, 4 or 5 days in between. And I think if you do that, it'll just be better across the board for both of you. Another common mistake is not feeding packages. And again, I think there is still a case to be made by comparing a package of bees to a swarm. And think of a swarm of bees. When a swarm leaves, they will grab as much nectar as they can to hold on, that they can carry, you know, in their bodies, but they don't have anything. They swarm to a brand new location that has nothing, and they usually find a way to kind of figure it out. So if in the wild and in nature, a swarm doesn't get fed by anything, why would we feed package bees? Well, I'll give you a couple of reasons that kind of come to mind here. One of them is swarms are going to occur in your area when the environment has signaled to and indicated to a colony of bees that the conditions are right. Everything in this environment right now is conducive to rapid growth, and now is the time for us to divide. That frequently and often does not align with the day where your package bees show up at your house. Because you've decided, I want package bees on March 20th, the environment may decide we are not ready to swarm, or I shouldn't say the environment. The conditions may not be optimal for swarming until April 15th. So if you said, I'm going to buy a package of bees and it's going to be handed to me on the day that I see swarms in my neighborhood, maybe that might be a scenario where you say, okay, well, I'm not going to feed them because I know that, you know, the swarms are happening and it's going to be okay. Now, I say all of that to say, like, this is what's going on in nature, but we also know that nature is pretty cruel. Nature is tough, and only the strong survive and all of that. But you actually have a chance here to do something that's really easy, it's relatively inexpensive, but it's massively impactful. And if you feed your bees, they are working 24 hours a day. So when it's cold outside, they're working. When it's rainy outside, they are working. It doesn't matter what's going on outside the hive. They're not limited to 10, 11 hours of daylight in the spring. They are working all the time. So you can take that package and be feeding them. Before the queen is even released from her cage, they can start drawing out comb. The day the queen comes out, she's checking things out. And within a day, she's out there laying eggs and filling everything up. And things are just moving, and they're moving quickly. And, you know, again, there's always the balance between your management strategy, what's important to you, what you've decided is important to you. So for me to tell you, well, this is what I do and this is what I like, you can say, well, that sounds pretty cool. I'm going to do what Jeff does. Or you say, I don't know, that's okay, but my neighbor has been keeping bees for 30 years and this is what he says and I'm going to listen to him. Cool, fine. What's even better is when you can have the opportunity to try different things. And you may say, well, I've got two colonies, they're packages of bees that came in, and the one on the left is hive number 4, the one on the right is hive number 9, or whatever numbers you assign to them. And I'm going to feed the one and I'm not going to feed the other, and I'm going to see what happens. Now, that's something that I am absolutely willing to do as an experiment maybe next year. You know, maybe next year I might go ahead and do something like that and just see what happens. But I don't feel like that's the best thing for me. Now, another thing that can happen sometimes, again, very rare, is you have your nucleus colony and you are moving the nuke from the package that you had that it came in, and you're bringing it into wherever the forever home is for your bees. If it's possible, it's kind of nice to locate the queen, like when you're doing that process. Now, if you're a new beekeeper, this still may be very daunting. You're here with this brand new big group of bees and you're a little scared and nervous. You're covered with, you know, head to toe with all of your gear. And the idea of looking for anything is just a little bit scary and intimidating. And I completely understand that. If you feel that way, what I want you to do is when you're actually transitioning everything from your nuke package, whether it's a piece of cardboard or whether it's a full wooden nuke, whatever it might be stored in to get it home, just make a note or just go sequentially. And again, different people have done this differently. Like I've had some beginner beekeepers I've worked with that just number. They literally take a Sharpie and they just put numbers on the frames. And then that way they will know which frames were where, when. I don't do this. I don't feel it's necessary for me, but some people think about things differently. If you want to do that to help keep things organized, or if you often use a frame hanger when you're pulling frames out, you know, it helps maybe sometimes to make sure you're putting them back in the right order. If that's something that you want to do, you know, that's completely fine. But what I would say is start from one side and then just bring the one frame in and put it in the same position. Now, if you want to go to the kind of the next level, pull the frame out and look at it. Look at both sides of the frame. And you may not be good at identifying queens yet, but someday you will be. But look at that frame and just kind of try to get the lay of the land and just see. You're not going to know what everything is or where they all are, but, you know, okay, cool, this is neat. This is what the frame looks like. And then set that down. And when you're putting that into place, I want you to be really gentle. Just make sure that the edges of the frame don't go crashing down onto the box. Try to make sure there's no bees on those edges and just set the frame down nice and gentle. And then continue to the next one and keep repeating this process. Now, if you want to, again, level things up a little bit and you want to see if you can find that queen during your install, the first thing I recommend, and I've been recommending this for a long time, when you're trying to learn to locate a queen, one of the best methods I've found is to go online, and if you need some, let me know. I've got a bunch of queen pictures I will send you. But I go online, and well, actually, we have an all about queens section in our Discord room too, and there's pictures there. But I would get all the pictures of queen bees you can find, put them in a directory, and before you go out to do an install or to do an inspection or whatever you're doing, just go through and just look at them and spend 3 or 4 seconds on each picture. And try to identify, okay, the really long extended abdomen, wings are going about halfway down her body, okay, this is good. And then go out, because once you have that fresh in your mind, it's a little bit easier. Think about when you drop something or when you're looking for something, your mind already knows exactly what you're looking for. And it's actively searching for something that matches that pattern. It'll make it a little bit easier. So look at your pictures and then take your frames out. Just do a quick peek on the, you know, both sides of it. Put them back in the same order. You just want to pay particular attention to how you're setting the frames in and doing it nice and gently. Because young queens, which most likely you're going to have a young queen, they can still be a little skittish. And they like to try to run under the frames on the bottoms. And they'll go around the corners. And they sometimes put themselves in a bad situation. Crushing a queen during an inspection is relatively rare, but yet I hear about it every year. Lots of people report that they've done that to me, or that it has happened to them, and they report that to me. So, you know, just be careful and take your time. And again, try to get everything back in the same order. Another thing that people will do, and sometimes you get in a bind and you don't have much of a choice, but again, with a nuke that you brought home, because most places aren't shipping nukes, so the nuke that you brought home, it's pretty self-contained. Yeah, you could close it up, put it in your garage, or put it in an area that has a nice, mild, mild environment, not too hot, not too cold, that kind of thing. And it could stay there for a few days pretty safely, and there would be, enough resources in the hive for them to be okay. And if you had to delay a few days because of bad weather or cold weather, now here's a good piece of news here with the nuke. If you have bad weather and you know you're not going to be able to do anything with it for a few days, you can just set the nuke out wherever your colony is going to be full time. Open the entrance, let them go. Right? They'll be fine as they are. You don't have to delay or wait on anything with them. It's when you've decided you're going to take them out and put them into a larger container that you'll want the weather to be a little bit better, because you are going to be pulling out both capped and open brood and exposing that to the cooler air. And that's just really not good if you can avoid it. So, again, you could put the nuke inside if you wanted to. If the weather is cold or whatever, you can put them outside. That's fine. But the package bees is where it becomes a real challenge, because that package of bees, it doesn't do great in that package long term. And when you get those packages, they're going to tell you, if you have more than an inch of bees dead at the bottom, you need to report that as an issue and, make sure you're letting your supplier know about that, because that's already going to be a big challenge with how many bees have been lost in transit. But if you have, let's say a good example, I got these packages of bees picked up on Saturday and I installed them Saturday afternoon. I think it was probably 80 degrees, something like that. No problem. Well, if I said, I'm going to put them in a nice cool space for a couple days and I'll just install them on Monday, because of course yesterday was not great. It was pretty windy and there was a lot of storms coming through. So I decided, well, I'm just going to install them on Monday. Well, it's 50 some degrees today. Well, that's all right. We'll wait till Tuesday. Now, I don't know. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think we had like 3 days in the 50s. The third day was going to be really close to 60. So I could say, all right, I'm going to wait until the 60 degree day until I install them. That means they've been in that package for probably 6 days. I mean, we're really starting to push the upper limit of what's good or bad for them. So here's me telling you what I would do. Again, you do what's best for you. I would rather roll the dice a little bit and have them be cold for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and get them into the yard than I would to have them sitting, in my, like my HVAC room or the garage or some other place. They can cluster together. They can consume sugar syrup for a little bit of energy if they need it. It's not like we're talking about temps getting down into the freezing area. We're talking about just being a little bit too cool to fly. So there's nothing wrong with holding off, if it's a really just borderline kind of day, or it's raining. I would still do an install on a windy day. That doesn't bother me. Bees still have to fly in the wind. But cold, rainy, I'm definitely staying away from those. Now, I have a few other notes on here, and I think what I'm going to end up doing, one of the notes I had was talking about, expanding and when you should be considering expanding. And I also have kind of like, okay, what should you be expecting, maybe within that first 30 days or so. But I think what I'm going to do is, this episode here actually kind of went a bit longer than I expected it to go. But one of the next episodes I already had planned is basically, what are the inspection strategies looking like for those first 30 days, first 60 days? You're just talking about what to expect, what you should see, and all of that. And then that rolls into, like swarm prevention basics, your varroa plan, all the other things that we were mentioning around, understanding the bee forage and all of that. So I think it makes sense to break this into some smaller, more consumable pieces. The key takeaway with this, nukes, very straightforward. You don't have to do much with them. You either put them down in place where they are, and within a few days or a week, you move them into a bigger box. totally fine. I like to go bigger box right from the beginning, or you can always just stack another nuke right on top of it with some drawn comb or foundation, let them work in that a little bit if you like to have fun with some of the nuke things. But generally, nukes are very simple, straightforward. You just want to make sure you don't damage your queen. Feed them if it makes sense. Make sure your queen is laying good after a week or so. Your package bees, you got a little more hand-holding with them, but take your time. It's not a rush. Take your time, nice and easy, no hurry. No need to be smoking for any of these activities and things. And then as we get into your more detailed inspections, we'll talk about the smoker, smoking, and all that good stuff. I think if I am permitted to do so, I'm going to keep going because there's a whole lot on my mind. But what I actually need to do is I need to get out into the bee yard, and I have actual bee work that I need to do. And I don't even know if I've given anybody any updates on things. I mean, we got everything inspected. Queens are verified. All my queens are good. I'm supposed to inspect today. It's a little bit cold. I'm not going to. I might. I don't know. We're going to check the temperature and we'll see what's up. If nothing else, I'm going to make a list, because what I'm going to have to do is I've got swarm traps here at the house. I've got some down at my property that I need to go down there and double check. I may even have a nuke in there already. And I did just upload I just said I would have a nuke in there. I may have a colony in there already. And I also just released a video over the weekend. This is kind of just me of, you know, what I do to prepare a swarm trap, because if you are on the ball and you have your act together, your swarm trap is going to come down at the end of swarm season. That's what I think a good, responsible beekeeper would do. And then you have me, who just leaves them up year round. Now, I have kind of changed the story or the narrative a little bit, because I'm trying to provide habitat for other living things in the off season so that the swarm trap can serve multiple purposes. But that's actually not true at all. It's just my excuse for being lazy and not taking them off and then trying to figure out where I'm going to put them. So this video shows me basically taking my swarm trap, cleaning it out. Got a couple of videos of some of the bugs and things that are in there. I'm cleaning them out, and then I'm taking the plastic foundation that I have and I am waxing it using the surfboard method and getting those installed on there back into the swarm trap itself. And then it shows me baiting them, the folks over at Swarm Sauce. I had never heard of Swarm Sauce. And I had a gentleman comment, and I know I mentioned this before, but I had a gentleman comment on one of our videos about the pill bottle swarm trap. He mentioned that he likes and uses Swarm Sauce. I reached out to them and they said, no problem, I'll send you some Swarm Sauce. And they did. So I've got everything at the house is baited in Swarm Sauce. One of them looks like a thing of chapstick. Don't use it as chapstick. Giving you a heads up on that one. Little pro tip, it is not actually chapstick. And I'm not telling you because I tried to use it, because you're probably sitting there thinking like, oh, I know you used that. I know you did. No, I didn't. So anyway, check out that video so you know what's going on there. But one final tip that I'm going to give you about swarm traps. When I first made them years ago, I used plywood. And then like plywood got really crazy in price. And I was like, you know what? I'll just use OSB. And if I put them in OSB or made them in OSB and hung them, for the most part, they were fine if I was taking them down and not giving them too much time outside. Where I am with that now is they do still work. What I'm noticing, though, is on some of like the outer covers, I'm getting a bit more like warpage with them, a little more of a bend in. So like when I hung one of them, and you'll see it in the video, it left a gap on between the top and where the handle is on the one side. And of course, the bees found that right away and they were checking that out. So I don't want to have to strap down the sides to hold it in place, you know, to hold the outer cover, the migratory cover in place. And I think that there was like a back piece that you use, like a strip, maybe like a 3-inch strip or so, that you could then run something through to secure it to a tree. Last year when I was removing one, I just, you know, with the water and the exposure, it kind of tore completely apart. So I need to do a little bit of work on some of the methods I'm using to do the tree securing. I just haven't invested enough time in it. But I will tell you, moving forward, I'm doing 100% just regular plywood, and I'm going to go with that. It's much more resilient. You just paint it, and it holds up a lot better, in my opinion, for the swarm trap. All right, everybody, I got to get out of here. I'm going to keep talking. Take care. Be kind to one another. Remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.